Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
In the Bible, there are instances of divine visitations, a spiritual intersection that influences destiny. And of course, we experience the same thing today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven." The word visitation means a time of assessment, the day of decision. God expects us to remain prayerful and watchful for seasons of spiritual visitations to our lives, because our choices affect our future. Now, a season of visitation always comes to change the future outcome of a situation, a crisis, or even a destiny. I'm going to give you an example. God spoke to Rebekah, Isaac's wife, about her twins. When she got pregnant, she was pregnant with twins. And the sons were Esau and Jacob. Now listen to what the Lord said to her. She was really disturbed because back in those days, she couldn't tell she was having twins, and she felt all this fighting going on in her tummy. It says in Genesis chapter 25 and 23, the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. And from the beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." Now, that was totally contrary to her culture. And her decision would determine history. I'm glad she made the right decision. Let me say something to moms right here. Never forget what God shows you about your children, because he chose you to protect their prophetic destiny. In this case, Isaac would have made the wrong decision. But God had spoken to Jacob's mom and said, "This is the way I want you to handle this." This is so important, folks. You know, I'm calling visitations a time where God actually speaks to you through the Holy Spirit or through his word or through something where you know I'm hearing God is talking to me. God is showing me something. And this is a time I have to make the right decision. Another visitation occurred later in Jacob's life when he himself wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he refused to let him go until he was blessed. He was in a very difficult situation in his life. His brother, whom he had taken the birthright from because it was God's plan, was now chasing him and saying, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life." Well, as he let the rest of his family go, he was praying, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord showed up and he started to wrestle with him because he needed a change. He needed a divine intervention right then. The angel said to Jacob, and this is found in Genesis 32 and 26, "Let me go. The sun is coming up." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man said to him, "So what is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." Then the angel of the Lord said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will now be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with people, and you have won." In verse 30, it says, Jacob named the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen God face to face, but my life was saved." So a visitation is an encounter with God about his purposes for our lives. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, from supplanter to prince with God. And God will change your circumstances during a season of visitation. And this is why God wants us to spend more time with him, so that we can know him more intimately in our lives. And we need to do this for our sake, for the sake of our families, our children, our health, our jobs, our finances, because God really wants to talk to us. God really wants to reveal to us certain things about our lives and certain things about our future. In Jeremiah chapter 33:3, it says, "Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come." Now, we are talking about seasons of divine visitation, and Palm Sunday was such a time. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, it describes some of the behind-the-scenes drama that occurred on Palm Sunday, and it's not often mentioned. Most of the time, we talk about the palm branches and the celebration, but I want to show you the whole picture here. Outwardly, Palm Sunday looked like a celebration. However, the Bible says, as they came closer to Jerusalem, Jesus saw the city ahead of him, and he began to weep. They were about to wave palm branches and sing in the streets. But you know something? Things aren't always as they appear. And this is a reason why you must also be able to discern what God desires to happen in your life, despite the celebrations, despite the promotion. Why did it come? What did the blessing come from? You know, the Bible says we are blessed to become a blessing. So you really need to understand that God is not just doing something with you. He's always doing something with others through you. Jesus said on the way to the celebration, this is verse 42, "How I wish today that you, the Jewish people of Jerusalem, would understand I am the way to peace. I am the way to safety. I am the way to prosperity. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes." I'm teaching this message today because it's not too late for you today to avert some decision that you feel troubled about. This message is for you. There are some of you who are making decisions and you feel troubled about it, but almost pushed into the fact, "I need to do this. I've got to do something, and now this is the time." Well, this is your time of visitation. If you don't feel like you should do this, don't do it. Because God is speaking to you. The Bible goes on to say in verse 43, "Then Jesus spoke prophetically, 'Before long, your enemies will build barricades around your walls and encircle you from every side.'" You know, there is a time between visitation and events, and we really need to pray for God's guidance, for his direction. Then we need to listen to him, and we need to obey whatever the Lord says. Obey whatever he says, and you won't be sorry. Jesus said in verse 44, "They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in this place because you did not realize the day of your visitation and accept your opportunity for salvation." Israel's time for visitation from God was Palm Sunday. It was a time when they needed God's help. They know they needed God's help. In fact, we see that happening as we continue to read the story. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. People, they intend to do the right thing. They intend to let God into their lives. They intend to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But God doesn't want you to wait. It may never happen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time to change your life. The people in the street when Jesus arrived were calling for a Savior. But the religious rulers, they refused to submit to Jesus' lordship. They wanted everything to remain the same. Don't allow your destiny to be decided by other people, especially when it comes to your relationship with God. And that's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. You know, people have different motives. Different desires about their lives. Your desire needs to be what the Word of God says, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything else will be added to you. These religious leaders, they refused to submit to Jesus' lordship. They wanted everything to remain the same. But time had run out. Palm Sunday was a day of visitation, and they had missed it. Now, let me show you how they welcomed Jesus. It looked like they were really welcoming him. And this is the Palm Sunday story that most of us know in Matthew chapter 21 and 8. It says, a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed after cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Well, Hosanna means save us. They were saying, Son of David, save us. Making references to David is really saying that they're accepting Jesus as the Messiah, that he is fulfilling what the Bible says about an earthly kingdom that the Messiah would establish to get rid of their enemies. Hosanna in the highest actually means God has sent you to save us. So this is what they're saying. There were thousands of them shouting this out as Jesus came into the city. Zechariah 9 and 9 gives a prophecy. It says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Now, to get an idea of how many people we're really talking about, Josephus, a Jewish historian, records that the population of Jerusalem would swell to more than 2 million people as Jews made pilgrimages to the temple for the annual celebration of Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt. The Bible tells us that all Jewish males were required to attend 3 feasts. And in Deuteronomy 16 and 16, it actually says this. It says, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place where he chooses. Well, he had chosen Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. And the first mention of the feast that they had to attend was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover. Passover, once again, it commemorates God's protection on the firstborn of Israel and their deliverance from Egypt. So this was the time Jesus was coming in. So we're talking about perhaps 2 million people in the city of Jerusalem. There were a lot of people there shouting and saying, Jesus, we welcome you. Save us. Establish your kingdom. Get rid of our enemies. He was being received. This was like a royal procession of a conqueror and a leader as he came in.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. We hope you're enjoying today's message. Now here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Steve. I want to invite you to our Good Friday Candlelight Communion service tonight at 7:30 p.m. Our annual Good Friday service is one where the presence of God is so real. Many people are healed. Many receive a personal word from the Lord as well. You won't want to miss this special service. Please consider joining us on Sunday for our Easter Resurrection service as well.
Don't miss our Good Friday Candlelight Communion service tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Spirit Life Church. Spirit Life Church is located in the heart of the Metroplex at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more information, visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now, the book of Matthew's version of this story also helps us to see the visitor's perspective. In verse chapter 10 and 11, listen to what it says. It says, and when he had come in to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Now, the reason why they were saying this is because people came from all around the world to Jerusalem at this time to celebrate the Passover. So many of these people had no idea who this local person was, this local prophet. They said, who is this? Who is this man? Who are you shouting about? So the multitudes began to say, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, that is one of the questions we all have to be able to answer for ourselves. Who is Jesus? Who is he really to us? There are a lot of people who don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. There are a lot of people who are not Christians. But God really showed us over and over again through his word about who Jesus was. Jesus proved his deity that he was the Son of God. If you read the Bible, it talks about how he stopped storms, how he fed multitudes, how he walked on the water, how he raised the dead. And one of the prophecies about the Messiah predicted that he would actually heal the sick. It said in Isaiah 35:5 that when the Messiah comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, the lame will leap as a deer, and those who cannot speak will shout and begin to sing. Well, the fulfillment of that was in Matthew 21:12. It says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Now, every time Palm Sunday is celebrated, it points to something that we rarely talk about. It talks about Christ's millennial kingdom. And we have to talk about the rapture, because the rapture precedes Christ's kingdom on earth. When we examine the text, when we read it, Palm Sunday is celebrating Jesus Christ being proclaimed the Messiah, the King of Israel, who would reestablish the Davidic kingdom here on earth. That's what they were actually saying. See, God had promised David that he would give him a descendant who would rule from his throne in Jerusalem eternally. Let me give you a few scriptures. In Jeremiah 23:5, it says, for the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's lineage. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is right and just throughout the land. And this shall be his name, the Lord is righteous. Let me give you another verse. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. Most of you have heard these verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. For he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. How long? For all eternity. I'm going to give you one more. Luke 1:26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Skipping down to verse 31. You will have a son. Call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is what thousands were shouting about on Palm Sunday. They were talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Now let's look at some of the references for this great event. And I'm going to use Daniel because it mentions the establishment of the kingdom when the world kingdoms come to an end. Are you still with me? But I don't see anybody falling asleep, so I'm going to go on. Daniel 2:37. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. His dream was of a giant statue made of different metals and clay representing the kingdoms of the world in history. The first kingdom was the kingdom of gold. It represented Babylon. The next kingdom was represented on the statue as breast and arms of silver. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. The third kingdom that came was represented by bronze. That was the Greek Empire. And the fourth kingdom's feet and toes were combined with iron and baked clay, and that stood for the Roman Empire. Next, there will be the Antichrist 10 kingdom empire. Now, I've been trying to get all the way down to verse 44, so here it is. During the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. I'm talking about Christ's millennial kingdom. When will the millennium take place? When will that kingdom be established? Well, the Bible tells us that when Satan will be chained, held captive in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, then that's when that kingdom will begin. Actually, it takes place after the Battle of Armageddon, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. I'd like to read some scriptures about this for you, so you don't have to take my word. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit, and a heavy chain was in his hands. He seized the dragon, the old serpent, who was the devil, Satan, and he bound him in a chain for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into a bottomless pit, which then he shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until 1,000 years were finished. We're talking about the 1,000-year millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Continuing, it says, after Satan must be released for a little while. We hate that, but that's what's going to happen. Verse 4 says, then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given authority to judge. Every person who accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior will be in that millennial kingdom, and most of us will be given thrones of authority over peoples and places. Isn't that wonderful? You didn't know you're going to rule, did you? Yeah, you are going to actually rule. You're going to be given authority to judge. And then it goes on to say, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus Christ and for proclaiming the word of God. In the tribulation period, those who have not bowed to the Antichrist, those who did not take the mark of the beast, those who remain faithful and true to God, they will be beheaded. So let me just say something to Christians who are a little weak right now. If you have a problem standing up because you're a little bit timid for God, you don't want to miss the rapture and go into the tribulation and think you'll do it then. Because you will be beheaded. I don't know anybody who really wants to be beheaded. This is a time to make your calling and your election sure. This is a time for us to live for God and for Christ according to the word of God with all of our hearts. Let the church say amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. This concludes part one of today's message. Join us Monday for part two. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of today's message is Recognizing Your Season of Divine Visitation, Part 1. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and perhaps you're going through some difficulties in your life. The Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify my name. Father, I just pray for every person who's going through difficult situations right now, those who are stressed out, those who don't know which way to turn, those who have been asking you for direction. I pray that you would grant your spirit to direct them. You told us to acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you would direct our paths. We're believing that, Lord, for every listener right now. I pray divine guidance, blessing, and encouragement upon their lives. I pray, Lord God, that you will help them to fulfill your purpose and destiny for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.